Good morning. It's certainly good to be with you this morning. I'm thankful that God has blessed us with another opportunity to be able to come together as His people, to be able to study His holy word at this time. You may want to go ahead and mark the book of Philemon in just a few minutes. We're going to be looking at the book of Philemon. But before we look at the book of Philemon, we do have a few thoughts that we want to present from God's Word as a way of introduction to our lesson this morning. The Apostle Paul would say in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, beginning at verse number 7, "And to you who are troubled, rest with us. When the Lord Jesus shall be revealed from heaven with His mighty angels and flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God and obey not the gospel of Jesus Christ." And Paul would go on to say, "Who shall be punished with everlasting destruction from His presence and from the glory of His power." As you know, we've been looking at a series of lessons on forgiveness. And if you wanted a simple definition of what forgiveness is, we could see from these verses it would be a promise never to take revenge. If we have obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ according to 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9, God has promised to forgive us of our sins, Hebrews 8, verse 12. That is, God has promised never to take revenge. And Luke chapter 17, verse 3, as we make application of this, in Luke 17, verse 3, Jesus said, "If a man trespasses against thee, and if he repents, you forgive him." And when we forgive somebody, what we're saying is, "I have no desire to take revenge. I'm not angry. I have no hatred towards you. I have no bitterness towards you." When we say that I forgive you, we are promising that individual that we're not going to bring it up to ourselves or to anybody else. That's forgiveness. And friends, no matter what somebody has done, no matter how bad they offend you, if they repent, Luke 17 verse 3, Jesus says we must forgive them. Forgiveness, as we've already noted in our series of lessons, is the most godlike and the most Christ-like act we can do as Christians. You see, when we forgive others, we are demonstrating godliness. Remember the point that we've made in each lesson? We are never more like our God than when we forgive. If we want God to forgive us, we must be willing to forgive others. If we don't forgive, God won't forgive. And if we don't forgive, that means God will be angry with us. And not only will God be angry with us, God will take vengeance against us. The writer of Hebrews tells us in Hebrews chapter 10, verse number 31, "It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God." You know, as we think about forgiveness, we could say that forgiveness is a magnificent virtue that we are to put on as the children of God. Let's consider another context before we turn our attention to the book of Philemon. If you would, turn over to the book of Colossians and notice with me Colossians chapter 3. And I'll begin reading at verse number 12. And as I said, there are some things that we are to put on as the children of God. And Paul is going to talk about those things that we are to put on. In Colossians chapter 3, beginning at verse number 12, Paul says, put on, therefore, is the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies. These are things that we are to put on. Kindness and humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering. Listen now. Verse 13, forbearing one another and forgiving one another, if any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. Friends, this is what we are commanded to do. We are commanded to forgive one another. Now with this in mind, let's open our Bibles to the book of Philemon. As we already said, we're going to be spending some time in the book of Philemon. The book of Philemon, as you're opening to this great book, is a wonderful story on forgiveness. The book of Philemon teaches us that forgiveness is essential. And we will find essential elements of forgiveness throughout the book in the most gentle, practical, and subtle ways. As I mentioned in our background information, you won't find the word forgiveness in this book, but it's implied. As I said, this is a wonderful story on forgiveness. Now, notice what we've already talked about in our study. Last week in our study, we looked at verses 4 through 7. And we talked about the spiritual character of one who forgives. 4 through 7, the spiritual character of one who forgives. The one who forgives, number one, has a concern for the Lord. And not only do they have a concern for the Lord, but number two, they have a concern for others. And then number three, they have a concern for fellowship. Again, the spiritual character of one who forgives. And then the second major point that we mentioned from verses 8 through 18 is the spiritual action of one who forgives. Again, the spiritual character, but also the spiritual action. And there are three elements to this action spelled out in the book of forgiveness. This is what forgiveness looks like. First of all, there is reception. You remember what Paul tells Philemon? I want you to receive him back. I want you to take him back. Number two, there is restoration. I want you to put him back into the service. And then number three, there is restitution. If he owes you anything, you put it on my account. Again, the spiritual character and the spiritual action of one who forgives. But this morning in our lesson, as we look at the last part of the book, we'll be looking at verses 19 through 25. And as you look at 19 through 25, you see the spiritual motivation behind forgiveness. In other words, the points that we're going to be mentioning this morning give us motivation to forgive. And again, we are commanded to forgive, but I really want to focus in on the motivation. What should motivate us to forgive? Notice our first point this morning. Again, what should motivate us to forgive? First, the recognition that I owe a debt that I cannot pay. First, the recognition that I owe a debt that I cannot pay. Read with me verse 18 and verse number 19. Listen to what Paul says to Philemon. If he, that is Onesimus, hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, listen to what Paul says, put that on mine account. In verse 19, I, Paul, have written it with my own hand. I will repay it. Albeit, I do not say to thee how thou owest unto me even thine own self besides. Listen to what Paul is saying here. As you think about this first point, there are principles here. Paul is sending Onesimus back to Philemon. And Paul says to Philemon, listen, if Onesimus owes you anything, you put that on my account. Whatever he owes you, you put it on my account. Now watch what Paul does. You put it on my account, and then you counsel it because you owe me. Do you see that in verse number 19? Whatever he owes you, you put it on my account. I will repay. But then you counsel it because you know what? You owe me. You see, Philemon is not only a creditor, he is a debtor who owes Paul a far greater and unpayable debt. We might say it like this. Onesimus owes Philemon a material debt. Philemon owes Paul a spiritual debt. Well, in what way? Paul obviously taught Philemon the gospel. Paul revealed the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ to Philemon. He taught Philemon what he had to do to be saved. And so there's a sense where Philemon could never pay the Apostle Paul back because of what the Apostle Paul has done. Now notice what Paul is encouraging Philemon to do. Paul is encouraging Philemon to forgive Onesimus on the basis that his debt is the lesser. His debt, that is, Onesimus, is the lesser. You know, because of sin, we owe a debt that we can never pay. Let's make the application here. Because of sin, we owe a debt that we could never pay. But because of Jesus Christ, God has forgiven our unpayable debt. In Hebrews 2 verse 9, we learn by the grace of God, Jesus Christ tasted death for every person. And in John chapter 10, verse number 18, nobody made Jesus lay down his life on our behalf. He says, I lay it down myself. What is he talking about? He's talking about the sacrifice that Jesus paid on our behalf. He appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself, Hebrews 9, verse 26. And then we learn in 1 Peter 1, verse number 18 and 19, that Jesus redeemed us by His precious blood. He paid a spiritual debt that we could never pay. He went to the cross and He shed His blood for our sins so that we could have the forgiveness of sin. Follow the principle. Make the application of what we've already stated in parable, in principle. Now notice how this is brought out in a very practical way in the story of Philemon. Paul is saying, listen, you forgive Onesimus. You put it on my account and then you counsel it because you owe me a far greater debt. Spiritually speaking, we see the same principle. If a person trespasses against us, we see that if they repent, we forgive them on the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for us, in that He died for us to pay the debt of sin that we could not ever pay back. And so, again, what motivates us to forgive others? The recognition that we owe more than we could ever pay. We owe more than we could ever pay. And so we should forgive others because God has forgiven us. Notice the second principle from the book of Philemon. The second thing that should motivate us to forgive is the recognition that I can be a blessing to others. Again, the second motivation to forgive is the recognition that I can be a blessing to others. Read with me verse number 20. Yea, brother. This is again Paul speaking to Philemon. Yea, brother, let me have joy of thee in the Lord. Refresh my bowels, my heart in the Lord. Do you realize by forgiving others, we can be a blessing to others? You think about Philemon. We've noticed already from verse number 7, Philemon has been a blessing to others. Paul is now saying in verse number 20, it's my turn, Philemon. Philemon, you can be a blessing to me. Remember where the Apostle Paul is at this time. The Apostle Paul is in prison and he is in Rome. And remember, he's sending Onesimus back to Philemon with this letter to encourage Philemon to forgive Onesimus and to receive him back more than a servant, but as a beloved brother. And we are seeing now here in verse number 20, if Onesimus did that, this would bring so much spiritual joy and so much spiritual encouragement to the Apostle Paul based upon Philemon's act of forgiving Onesimus. You see, Paul loved these two brothers. Paul loved Philemon. And Paul loved Onesimus. And Paul wanted these two brothers now in Christ to be right with one another. And we see by Philemon forgiving Onesimus, oh, this would make Paul's heart glad to see these two brothers united in Jesus Christ. It reminds me of Psalm 133, verse 1. Behold how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And as we've already pointed out in our second lesson, that when we hold grudges and ill will towards others, when we fail to forgive others, it disrupts that unity. It disrupts that fellowship. And so here Philemon could be a blessing upon others. He was a blessing upon the brethren there in his house. Remember, the church was meeting in his house and he was going out of his way. He was doing so much. The brethren's hearts were refreshed. And Paul says, you'll refresh my heart, dear brother, if you will forgive him. Let's never forget that. When we forgive others, we can be a blessing to others. Again, here are two points already from the book of Philemon that should motivate us to forgive one another. Number one, you owe more than you can ever pay. And number two, when you forgive, you will refresh the hearts of the saints. Notice the third thing that should motivate us to forgive one another. And again, all of these points are from the book of Philemon in a very gentle and subtle way. Remember, you won't see the word forgiveness or restitution in the book. It's implied though. And so you see these points in a very subtle way. The third thing that should motivate us to forgive is the recognition that we are all called to be obedient to the Lord. Look at verse number 21, again from the book of Philemon. Look at verse number 21. We are all called to be obedient to God. Verse 21, Paul says, again speaking to speaking to Philemon, having confidence in thy obedience. You see what Paul is saying to Philemon? Having confidence in thy obedience, I wrote unto thee, knowing that thou wilt also do more than I say. What is Paul talking about here specifically concerning Philemon's obedience? Look at the context. Receiving Onesimus back. A little bit more specific, forgiving Onesimus. Do you see what Paul is saying? Philemon, I know I'm confident that you're going to be obedient in this matter. That's the kind of man Philemon was. He was obedient to all of God's commandments. And I believe you see the point that we're making. Again, Luke 17 verse 3, if any man trespass against thee, if he repent, forgive him. Friends, that is a command that comes from God to forgive one another. And how dare we ever hold grudges when a brother or sister repents and asks us to forgive them and we hold a grudge and we say, I'm not going to forgive you, when God has forgiven us through Jesus Christ. You remember the parable of the unmerciful servant? Remember, he was forgiven, but he was unwilling to forgive others. Forgiving one another is a command of God. And really, our obedience to God is a mark of a true believer. Jesus said in John 14, verse number 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. We build our lives upon the rock when we are obedient to all of God's commandments. We should never approach the Word of God with the attitude, well, I like this command, but I don't like this command. We should strive, 1 Peter 1, verse 14, to be God's obedient children. And listen, if we're obedient children, we're going to follow every command. In our first lesson, we pointed out that forgiveness sometimes isn't easy, but it's necessary. It is a command of God. And we should never lose sight of the commands of God. And remember, any time we find a commandment like we're talking about, where it says that we are to forgive one another, remember, any time we see a command of God, there is a good reason for it. God is helping us to be His children, to let our light shine. Listen, if we hold grudges, ill will, bitterness, hatred toward others, it destroys us spiritually speaking. It destroys spiritual transformation. When we learn to forgive others, it will make us a better person spiritually speaking. It will cause us to be stronger. And it will give us a deeper appreciation of the forgiveness that God has granted us. Notice the fourth thing. Notice the fourth thing. The fourth thing that should motivate us to forgive is the recognition that I am accountable to God. It's the recognition that I am accountable to God. Now remember what we're saying from the book of Philemon. This is a wonderful story on forgiveness. And it teaches us about forgiveness in a subtle way. Think about this point and read with me verse number 22. Listen to what Paul says to Philemon. But withal, prepare me also a lodging, for I trust that through your prayers I shall be given unto you. Remember, Paul wrote this letter during his first Roman imprisonment. And from other passages, it appears that Paul was released from Rome. And Paul would go and visit other congregations and he would visit certain individuals. Do you see how Paul, in a very subtle way, is holding Philemon accountable? Oh, Philemon, by the way, I plan on coming to see you. You think that maybe got Philemon's attention? The Apostle Paul is coming to see me. Did the Apostle Paul ever use that strategy to get people to maybe think spiritually speaking? You remember the book of 1 Corinthians? You remember all the problems that the Corinthians were having because of their carnal mindset? And you see all of the instruction that the Apostle Paul gives them. In 1 Corinthians chapter 4, he reminds them, oh, by the way, I'm coming to see you. But should I come, you remember the language, 1 Corinthians 4, 21? Should I come with a rod? Or should I come with love and meekness? I believe that that rod really represents perhaps the discipline that the Corinthians might have received at the hands of the Apostle Paul. Remember who Paul was. Paul was an apostle. And Paul had authority. And Paul did miraculous things in a way that would cause people to wake up spiritually speaking. I believe in a very subtle way Paul is telling Philemon, listen, you need to forgive this guy. I know you're obedient. But I believe in a very subtle way Paul was helping Philemon remember his accountability. And when we make the application, we need to remember that there is nothing God doesn't see. Hebrews 4 verse 13. Let's read Hebrews 4 verse 13. It's right there. It's a great passage that teaches about accountability. Hebrews 4 verse number 13. Neither is there any creature that is not manifest in His sight. But all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. What is the writer saying? God sees everything. He sees everything that is going on in our life, and we need to get our act together. This is why Paul would tell Christians, awake to righteousness. What is Paul saying when he tells Christians, awake to righteousness? Get your spiritual act together. If you're holding grudges and hatred, if you refuse to forgive others when they've repented, get your spiritual act together. God is going to hold all of us accountable. He sees everything. He knows our very hearts. And that's what we should really focus on. He searches the hearts. He tries the reins, the emotions of us. He knows everything about us. And so if we are harboring ill will toward others, He knows that. And He will hold us accountable. Notice the fifth thing. We're almost done here. The fifth motive to forgiveness is the recognition that we're not alone, but we are a part of a fellowship. This doesn't just center around me. It centers around others. We are a part of a fellowship. That is, we are brethren. And because we are brethren, that means something to God, and that means something, or that should mean something to us. Notice this point again. In a very subtle way. The point on forgiveness in a very subtle way. Look at this verse. Verse 23. There salute Epaphras, my fellow prisoner in Christ, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, my fellow laborers. There are five individuals that the Apostle Paul mentions at the end of this letter. By the way, Philemon, here's another point. There are others, those five that he just mentioned. There are others, Philemon, who send their greeting. Do you think these others that Paul worked with, Marcus, Aristarchus, Demas, Lucas, do you think they knew about Onesimus? Do you think maybe they learned about his conversion and that Paul was sending Onesimus back to Philemon? Do you see how this would perhaps get Philemon's attention? Paul again is encouraging Philemon to forgive Onesimus, not to fracture the love bond that existed with these brethren. Do you see the problems that it would cause with that love bond between these brethren if Philemon says, you know what, I'm just like the older son in the parable of the prodigal. I'm not going to receive Onesimus. He ran away from me and he took from me, and I'm not going to receive him back, and I don't consider him to be a brother. If he did that, he would totally destroy that love bond that fellowship that Paul had with Philemon, and that fellowship that Philemon had with these other brothers, and the fellowship that Philemon had with God. You see, when we refuse to do things the way God tells us to do them, again, we can destroy that love bond that exists between us and God, and that exists between us and our brethren. Remember, we don't want to destroy the fellowship. We want to build. How do we build that fellowship? Remember Ephesians 4 verse 3. When there's fellowship, there's unity. How do we build that fellowship? How do we build that unity? Ephesians 4, 1 through 3. We think about how we treat one another. We're gentle. We're kind. We're compassionate. We are long-suffering. And yes, we forgive one another. And when we forgive one another, again, we protect that fellowship which builds the unity with the saints. Notice the last point. Lesson will be yours. Notice the sixth motive to forgiveness. The sixth motive to forgiveness. It's a recognition that I am empowered, motivated by the grace of God. You ever notice how Paul finishes this letter? The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, Philemon. Amen. Anytime forgiveness is involved between two individuals or a multitude of individuals, we need to keep the grace of God at the forefront. We know how gracious God has been toward us. And we need to be gracious toward others. The grace of God can move you. It can motivate you. As Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 10, it's because of the grace of God I am what I am. You look at what Paul did before he became a Christian, and how he tried to destroy Christianity. How he had people put to death. Paul realized that because of sin, he owed a debt that he could never pay. He did so much harm to the body of Christ. And so Paul says, it's by the grace of God, I am what I am. What does he mean? I am what I am. I'm an apostle, but more importantly, because I'm a Christian. And then he would go on to say concerning that grace, it's that grace that motivated him to labor abundantly above them all. Paul wasn't in a competition to try to outdo the other apostles. It was the grace of God that motivated him to do all that he was doing in the kingdom of God. And that same grace that Paul speaks of in 1 Corinthians 15 verse 10 should motivate us to be all who God wants us to be. I hope this series of lessons has been an encouragement to you. Forgiveness is a must, but as we talked about this morning from the book of Philemon, there are several things in the book of Philemon that we can see that should motivate us. Not only do we see the spiritual character of one who forgives and the spiritual action, but we see the spiritual motivation in the book of Philemon that should encourage all of us to be that person that forgives. What are those things that we talked about? Again, we owe a debt that we can never pay. When we forgive, we refresh the hearts of the saints. When we forgive others, we're being God's obedient children, knowing that God will hold us accountable to His will. And when we forgive one another, we protect the fellowship that we have with one another, and it really helps us understand the grace of God, and it gives us a deeper appreciation of the grace of God when we forgive one another. You know, God desires to forgive. Psalm 86 verse 5 is the first verse that we considered in our series of lessons on forgiveness. God stands ready to forgive when we meet His terms of pardon. If you're not a Christian, we want you to know what God wants more than anything is for you to be pardoned. He wants you to be forgiven. Jesus Christ paid the price for your sins, for my sins, so that we can be forgiven if we meet His terms of pardon. His terms of pardon are found in the New Testament. We must hear His Word and we must believe His Word. We must repent of our sins. We must confess the precious name of Jesus. And we must be baptized for the remission of our sins. When we're baptized into Christ, our sins are washed away. We become a new person. No longer are we going to stand before God and receive His wrath. Our sins have been forgiven after we've been baptized. We need to be faithful. We need to walk in the light. And we need to strive to be the Christian that God wants us to be. We need to be kind and we need to be gentle and we need to be forgiving. If we are a Christian but we haven't been walking in the light, we haven't been that kind of individual, let's make those changes this morning. Again, God will forgive you. He has promised to forgive you. That's what we have. We have forgiveness with God. And so this morning, if we can help you with forgiveness, if we can help you with your spiritual needs, won't you please come forward right now as we stand.